Rob Isbitz, Chief Investment Strategist at SunGarden Investment Management, is here, and it's time to talk ETFs on the Money Life Market Call. Welcome to the Market Call, everybody, the part of the show where we talk with experienced money managers about how they do their job, what they look for that informs their investment decisions, what they are looking at now in the market, and how they put it all together. And after we find out what they like and why they like it, we then find out how they feel about some of your picks. My guest today is Rob Isbitz. He is the founder and chief investment strategist at SunGarden Investment Management. He is also behind thehedgedinvestor.com. So thehedgedinvestor.com is a site that's all about investment strategy. And if you're looking for strategy, you go there. Whereas SunGardenInvestment.com is the website for the advisory firm. So if you're looking to learn more about Rob and the firm, as opposed to the strategy, it's SunGardenInvestment.com. Like I said, the hedged investor. Keep the word the in there. TheHedgedInvestor.com. And Rob's on Twitter at Rob Isbitz. Rob Isbitz, thanks for joining me on Money Life.
Hey, Chuck. Thanks for having me. Just a couple of New Jersey natives talking the money life. Not bad.
That's it. Let's get to it. We always start with methodology, and there's a distinct strategy that is part of your methodology. So lay it out for us.
Sure. So look, 2020 has been a real turning point, I think, for the independent-minded investor. And my investment methodology is probably very different from what your listeners typically hear. So let's just walk through it quickly. My dad taught me to chart stocks. He was a do-it-yourself investor. He taught me when I was 16 years old. And 40 years later, I've been doing it professionally for about 30 years. It starts with a very simple concept. Control what you can control, and that will help you deal with what you can't control. So what we can't control as investors is things like market direction, what moves markets in any particular day or week, how stocks react when earnings are announced, how long it takes for the market to return to acting rationally when it's not, which is a lot of the time. But what can we control? Well, that's where my number one rule of investing comes in. I always believe that investors, unless they are very young and haven't made much money yet and will make a lot more in their lifetime, they should be prioritizing what I call ABL, avoid the big loss. Or as they say, don't turn your 401k into a 201k. So investors are taught to make good long-term returns. You need to invest aggressively. I completely disagree with that. It's ABL, avoid the big loss, do your homework, be prepared for anything, understand market cycles and how they've changed since you and I were young men growing up in New Jersey, staying laser focused on real life objectives that you have for your wealth. I don't think it gets enough credit, and remaining humble at all times. I've tried to remain humble for 34 years of doing this. And that leads me to, from all the things I've seen and tried over the years, I started to create something that I refer to as hedge investing. It's what gave birth to thehedgeinvestor.com, and it's the way I've run portfolios for going on probably three decades. It starts with always aiming to put the risk-reward trade-off in our favor, and it's about playing offense and defense at the same time. Really, so I guess for if you're a sports fan, it's more like basketball than football, because in basketball, same players. The offense and defense are always on the court at the same time. Football, they change back and forth. Well, in investing, I think you always want to have your offense and defense together. How do you do that? Well, you start by assessing the market climate. I do it over multiple time frames. And again, I'm a technician at heart. So, for instance, when I'm scouting out potential buys, I may look at monthly, weekly, daily charts, but once I've decided to make a move, buy or sell, I look at hourly or even shorter term charts because I want to act with as much precision as possible. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because I think a lot of investors these days, they don't think about hedging, or they think of it as stocks, bonds, and cash. Well, I think you have to go a little bit beyond that. To me, there's three segments to a portfolio. The first segment is a stock portfolio, and it might be individual stocks, it might be ETFs. Typically, when I buy ETFs, I'm buying them as a surrogate for owning the stock. So to me, being over-diversified or diversified, as I like to call it, is something we like to try to avoid. So in the three buckets, if you will, in a hedge portfolio, you have stocks or stock ETFs, but then you add two components, which I don't think most investors really have been educated about, and that's why we started the hedgeinvestor.com. Second segment is the hedge segment, and this is tail risk protection, but it can also give you a fighting chance to profit during down markets, and most investors don't even realize you can do that. It takes some skill and it takes some discipline, but again, if you're trying to ABL, avoid the big loss, you can use bear markets as an offensive weapon. And then the third bucket is a tactical segment, and that really just aims to capitalize on the increasingly short-term nature of market cycles. In other words, it's the part of your portfolio where you expect to hold something for weeks or months, not years, not day trading, it's not swing trading, it's risk management. And very different from just going buy, hold, stock, bond. I think the bond market is toast in many different ways. And so we try to assess the climate and then use a different tool set, I think. But at the end of the day, it's just ETFs and stocks. I'm sure you could use mutual funds with it, too. It's just been a long time since I did.
Well, and so we're talking ETFs today. In part, we should maybe have a small disclaimer here in that while we've talked about the hats that Rob wears, we're really talking about the strategy hat. So as we break it down, kind of help folks understand. So we're going to be looking at ETFs and like what comes through the process. What's a poster child for the methodology, the kind of thing where you say, this is where the research and everything else is telling us to go now?
Sure. So it starts with the macro, fundamental, and quantitative analysis, and I have my own brand of it, and again, we'll be making this available on the research site pretty soon, but it really starts with thinking of your portfolio, again, almost like a sports team. It's not about just having the star player. The pieces need to fit together, and where I think some investors go astray, especially with ETFs, is they think way too broadly when they really can be looking at sectors, industries, themes, structures. We do something at the more esoteric level called ETF arbitrage, which is probably another conversation for another day. But generally speaking, you're long something and you're short something because that's hedge investing. And you don't have to short anything individually in an ETF, because there's plenty of single inverse ETFs out there. And look, the technicals are how we ultimately get there, but we narrow it down, at least with ETFs, to about 100 securities that we can track at each time. I do that with my analyst team, and we are focused, frankly, a little bit differently than most people are. I like concentrated ETFs. They're a surrogate for owning stocks directly, but you get more diversification. You don't get earnings blow-ups with an ETF like you would with a stock. So even though we use stocks, a lot of it is ETF work. And so what we want to do is own ETFs that are more concentrated, but you have to understand the underlying holdings. So we look through to the underlying holdings, and not just, oh, it owns this, it owns that, but understand what that's going to do. And of course, doing our technical work, our price analysis on the underlying components as well. And look, the reason is very simple. I think like any investor, I want to know what I own, and I want to know what I own all the time. And that gets us the player roster for our portfolio, so to speak, and then to determine which players are in the game, i.e. the portfolio at any point in time, that's where the technical work comes in, and that's a process I've honed over 40 years.
So for instance, of the kind of fund that makes your list that's concentrated but has the right kind of stocks?
Sure. But with the caveat that as a registered person, I can't really speak about individual security names. I will say this, you can screen pretty easily by seeing how many securities there are in an ETF, but it's not just how many it owns. I frequently look at what is the concentration in the top 10 holdings, what is the concentration in the top 25 holdings, because there may be an ETF, for instance, if you think about a lot of the ones that have come out more recently, they're really just everybody trying to get their slice of the pie. There are so many ETFs out there now. that basically are just the S&P 500 cap-weighted index by another name. They hold all the FANG stocks and the rest. To me, I would rather focus on, if I'm going to look at any industry, any sector, any theme, and I have a choice between three or four ETFs, and Lord knows there's tons of competition for just about everything right now. If you look at the financial sector, if you look at the industrial sector, if you look at emerging markets, it seems like there's about 1,700 ETFs. You know, Chuck, there's actually more ETFs now than equities in the U.S. I think they just passed it. And you and I are old enough and experienced enough to remember when that happened with mutual funds, but apparently, you know, the product launch game is still alive and well. So when it comes down to choosing them, typically, if you're going to look at any individual sector, so for instance, earlier this year, there were a few areas that we were looking at. We were looking at transportation. And in order to narrow down transportation, well, it's part of the industrial sector. And, you know, so you narrow down, okay, we want transportation. It works fundamentally, quantitatively, and then it's just down to the product. But honestly, which ETF it is, other than the structural things I'm talking about, is, I would say, not even the most important part of the process when you're a hedge investor. The other thing I would say, just thinking about this year, is that the U.S. dollar is, currently looks like it's bouncing back a bit, but I still have some longer term concerns about the strength of the dollar after years where it kind of put all the foreign currencies to shame. And so that has led us to looking at places like Asia, like Europe. But again, Asia, Europe, you can own an ETF that has 1,500 securities. And to me, there's no edge there. The edge comes from finding an ETF that maybe has 30, 50, even 80 to 100 holdings, as long as it's sort of top heavy.
Rob, this has been fun. Come back and chat with us again sometime.
Sure will. Thanks a lot, Chuck.
That's Rob Ispitz. He is founder and chief investment strategist at Sun Garden Investment Management, and he is also behind thehedgedinvestor.com. SunGardenInvestment.com, the website to learn about the advisory firm, TheHedgedInvestor.com to learn about the strategy. He's on Twitter at Rob Ispitz.